Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, urination, defecation, and backstage bullying in WWE.
Yep, that's definitely a story. AEW are massively outdrawing WWE in New York.
Tommy Dreamer has apologized for his comments on Dark Side of the Ring.
And Tony Khan comments on whether or not he'll be a TV character in AEW going forward. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
So we're going to kick things off
today. Oh, what a start to the week this is.
Very interesting one indeed. We're going to kick things off today with Rene Dupree. Perhaps not a name you were expecting to hear from on the wrestling news today, but hey, here we go. He's done an interview on the That 90s Wrestling podcast, and he has accused one Mr. Undertaker the of some pretty heinous backstage conduct. Now, this is something that Dupree has spoken on in the past several times. He's never been shy of opening up on some of the behavior that he fell victim to when he was in WWE. But I'm going to quote here, just read you through what happened. His words, not mine, mm-hmm. And then we'll take it from there. They took my $500 shoes and $1,000 suit and ruined it in the shower because I didn't go out clubbing at a bar the night before because nobody invited me. That's just materialistic. You can replace that. That doesn't bother me. What really bothered me is when in Italy the next night they took my French flag, my heritage, he's Canadian of course, Rene Dupree, they shoved it in a toilet and pissed and shit all over it. I don't know what bullshit world you live in, but in my world, that's called racial discrimination. That's really hurtful. So obviously it has French heritage, mm-hmm. Rene Dupree. They really leaned into that when he was on television and everything else. But the next part of the story is maybe even worse than the act itself. What I did do was I went to Arn Anderson, who was the agent, and I asked him, and Arn's advice to me was, don't sell it. So he's ignoring it. Don't make a fuss. Don't make a fuss, pal. Just put up with it. I was like, okay. The next person I went to was The Undertaker. And I said, what do you do when someone does this to you, Undertaker? I'm sure it's happened a lot to The Undertaker. And he goes, well, you find out who does it. He ordered them to do that because I didn't go out drinking with him and the guys at a bar. Now, Dupree has alleged all kinds of backstage just awful stuff in the past. JBL is someone he's fallen victim to. There was some stuff with Bob Holly as well. He once claimed in an RF video shoot interview that he faced homophobic abuse every single time he went to work. Mm. Now, he was with WWE from 2003 to 2007. He was very young when he started out. He was like 20 years old when he first hit the main roster. So, you know, stories like this are not necessarily anything new. We've heard all about WWE's hazing and bullying culture over the years. It's pretty terrible. It's awful to hear about, particularly when you look at The Undertaker and he's supposed to be this locker room revered figure. But you can only hope that, you know, in 2021, hopefully things aren't as brutal as they once were. But I think this just the boys being boys mentality is really regressive.
Yeah, it's awful, this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like we say, we can only say these are allegations from Rene Dupree, but like, it does seem to fit the sort of profile of 2003, around that sort of era. Like you say, the amount of times we've heard stories from the boys about hazings and, you know, people doing stuff in other people's bags and what have you. And you just think, like, oh, that really ruins my perception of WWE from any wrestling company, we should say, from back then. Because, like, I don't know who first instigated that. And I realise it's, you know, almost a part of the culture from back then. But who went, oh, this is fine. And like you say, yeah, it's not Arn Anderson's fault. But the fact that your solution is, oh, just no-sell it,
yeah,
is not exactly the best way to deal with it, is it? Like, no, any absolutely. Workplace bullying shouldn't just be, ignore it. Yeah, you're not back in bloody primary school.
It's just the lads, it's fine. There was lots of this stuff on Dark Side of the Ring this past week as well, with the Bleeding Red from Hell episode, of worse allegations being told, hey, don't sell it, just, you know, don't make a fuss. And it's, you know, you hate hearing about stuff like this. But if you think stuff like this didn't go on in WWE at this time, watch this week's episode of Dark Side of the Ring, which is on Chris Kanyon, and that'll open your eyes. Jesus.
I didn't realise that was this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a brutal watch.
Oh, yeah. The things that were perceived to be acceptable back then, and it isn't just a changing of the times, they were always wrong. It was just allowed to happen more back then. And don't get on your high horse about all this cancel culture. That, what Andy's just reported, allegations again, is objectively terrible.
It's bollocks behaviour. Yeah, absolutely. It's indefensible.
Anyway, let's move on and talk about AEW versus WWE in New York City. They are both selling tickets for shows going down in December, and AEW are blowing WWE out of the water. They're both going to the UBS Arena in Belmont Park, Long Island. And Dave Meltzer, speaking on Wrestling Observer Radio, has stated that AEW's ticket sales sitting around 6,200 for their show, the Dynamite episode that goes down there on the 8th of December. WWE has a Raw show actually going down at the end of November, not December, as I previously said, but has only sold ticket sales of around 2,000 to 2,500. Now, yes, WWE did announce this about a week after AEW's event, but I mean, you look at the precise data that WrestleTix have given us here, Andy. 6,167 of 8,800 tickets sold by AEW to 2,450 of WWE's of 7,000 and about 400. Yeah. I mean, people will say, oh, and I've already seen this excuse doing the rounds online, they announced it later. It's a different kind of show. It is more expensive to get WWE tickets. But as a pure test of let's both do the same arena around the same time period, there's clearly a higher demand. Not that WWE, I mean, WWE was in Newcastle last night and reports say that it was a really enjoyable house show. Mm-hmm. But the demand is clearly there more so for AEW.
Yeah, it's really interesting to follow in certain markets how ticket sales and everything else are going. And like, when stuff like this comes out, there's always people on both sides making excuses for whatever. Oh, the ticket sales are the prices are higher. Well, WWE could lower those.
Yes.
You know, that's in their control and everything else. And the WWE show also was only announced 1 week after the AEW one and everything else. So, hey, look, it's the MJF territory, right? Long Island. Obviously, he's the difference
maker.
It's
going to be a weird
here.
Old show, that, isn't it? Yay, yeah. MJF's here. You all suck. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we really do suck. Tell us, Max. It'll be interesting to see what reaction he gets, actually, because he's impossible to cheer MJF, but, you know, he's in his home territory.
He's one of the best friends.
But on a more serious note, I do think it's really interesting to follow these patterns in certain markets. I think Chicago is pretty much an AEW town now, right? Like, I mean, every single show there they have is popping off. New York City, they're going to outdraw WWE this week. Arthur Ashe is a bigger stadium, yes, everything else, than Madison
It'll be
Square
very
Garden.
Very interesting, the ratings this week, aren't they?
Yeah, those are going to be something to follow. But look, AEW's making good progress in pro wrestling, and I think, like, if you want to, you don't have to enjoy the product, but when you look at the business, hey, they're doing pretty well.
Yes.
So I just turned a bit Tony D'Angelo there. Hey!
I'll just conclude this by quoting my good friend, Robert Dylan. The times, they are a-changing. Hi, Rob. Thanks for watching, mate.
Okay.
Bobby! Bobby!
Tommy Dreamer. Tommy. Yep.
Yeah.
Right, stuff happened with Tommy Dreamer last week. Dark Side of the Ring, made some comments, covered those on the video that I did on Friday. Check that out if you haven't seen it already. Got suspended by Impact Wrestling as a result of those comments. Now he has issued a statement in response, an apology, if you will. Just read it out to you. This is from Twitter over the weekend. He said the following. Regarding my comments on Dark Side of the Ring, it was never my intention to offend, hurt, or victim shame anyone. I understand my comments were insensitive and could trigger emotions in someone's own personal past. I do not condone sexual misconduct of any kind. I apologize to anyone I offended. From the bottom of my heart, I am sorry. So, Cliff Notes version of what happened. Heidi Doyle was on Dark Side of the Ring, recounting her experiences on the plane ride from hell, allegations of sexual misconduct against Ric Flair, all kinds of stuff. Near naked Ric Flair backing her into a corner, allegedly forcing her to touch him and stuff. Tommy Dreamer kind of blew it off. He said it was a joke and she got offended, which is a hell of a leap to make. Later in the episode, he kind of doubled down and said, hey, look, today someone might be offended by my haircut. And it was like, you're comparing your haircut to somebody's sexual misconduct allegations. I shouldn't really need to explain why that's
no, true, exactly.
Right? But look, he's issued the statement here. Hopefully this is the first part in the process of understanding why this was wrong. He should have understood at the time why saying these things were silly. Still suspended by Impact. No word on when he'll return. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer. Really want to comment much on this, if I'm perfectly honest. Andy, like you say, it was an awful thing to happen at the time. To sit there years later and try and explain it away, like you say, as a joke taken the wrong way.
Come on.
When all the, you know, the evidence and the stories are there and they've been presented in very different ways. You take, like, the example of WWE's wacky cartoon version of the plane ride from hell.
Hey, man.
And you compare that to the Dark Side of the Ring. Look, all I'll say, like you, I'll just echo what you said, Andy. This is the first step in the right direction and... what, you know, that's what people need to do and apologise and accept that
accountability.
In certain situations
they're wrong. Absolutely.
Right, let's move on and talk about Sweet TK Tony Khan as a possible on-air character. He's been chatting with the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, genuinely one of the best podcasts out there that isn't, you know, What Culture Wrestling. Number one, baby. Why try harder? anyway, Tony Khan has been talking about basically being more of an on-air character. We've seen very brief glimpses of that episode of Dark, we'll talk about in a second. But when asked about being a full-on TV character, he said, no, I don't write myself as a TV character, but if this makes sense, I'm a plot device in the show. So you'll hear my name a few times because I am the matchmaker. I make the matches, so you'll have someone appeal to me. I don't need to act or be on television or take up TV time, but you do have to have a commissioner and a person who lays the law down and makes the rules. Yeah. So it's sort of like Jack Tunney, you know, that sort of character he's effectively going for. He doesn't want on-screen time. He's not going to be a sort of Mr. McMahon character. Although, I do have a slight addition to this, Andy. My sources say he may well be showing up on next week's episode of Dynamite, because I spoke to Tony and he said, 9 days! That's when he's going to be on telly next. But yes, a relief to hear this, that we're not going to get more on-screen authority figures. And to be fair to himself as well, that makes sense. You can't just say the powers that be, because then Russo will get excited, will announce this match for, you know, Rampage off the back of something that happens on Dynamite. You need someone, but yeah, you don't need someone coming out and saying, welcome to AEW Dynamite.
Yeah, exactly. His presentation has been spot on so far, I think, for what a lot of people were expecting from this product. There was the incident on AEW Dark that you've just covered.
Nine days from now.
Which we ripped into at the time because it wasn't good and it wasn't what we expected. So yeah, his use has been absolutely fine. A lot of people are really weary of authority figures from WWE constantly having one for like 30 odd years. But they are a bit better now, like Postman Pierce and the nickname for Sonya as well. But we'll get there. Fireman Deville, whatever.
Fining Naomi, what was all that about this week? She just asked for a match.
Come on, Sonya, get it together. But yeah, WWE have been a little bit better with it recently for sure.
Yes.
It's not as overbearing as it used to be. But yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I don't need any more authority figures for a long old time in my wrestling. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At What Culture WWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with this first question today, comes from birthday boy Ashley Taylor. Happy birthday, Ashley, from all of us here at What Culture. He gets a question because it's his birthday. If Ric Flair was the plan to be Andrade El Idolo's new manager, where or who do you see AEW moving to now instead? P.S. Molly and Lucy say hi. First of all, good girl. Second of all, Andy, what do you think happens with Andrade next?
Yeah, nobody's booking Ric Flair after what's come back up through the Dark Side of the Ring episode, and rightly so. Andrade is a real tough one, isn't he? He's been through two managers already. Where do we go from here?
He's got that associate, is it? Jose?
Jose, he's got the lint roller and the iPad there. You know,
and a taser.
Did you know that if I tap you with this, that's the match over?
Yeah.
Didn't like that finish. But going all over the place, Zelina Vega, is she available? I don't know. What's she up to?
They're really not utilising her on WWE. They brought her back and she was my pick for Money in the Bank. And now they just job her out
and make her
go, oh, you're all right, Carmella. And she's the stepping stone, I think, this week to Carmella versus Liv Morgan, isn't it?
Yeah, she's 0-9 since she came back. I don't know, maybe Sonya Deville doesn't want to be a firewoman on Raw and she can come over and be... that stupid stuff aside, I think you should just go it solo with Jose. We've been through two of these managers already. Why try another one? Let's give it a go solo, see what he does.
And they've got the best person already as a representative, and that's Alex Abrahantes. I love it. Penta says. I love him.
Do
but
these
yes.
little signs and stuff during the end.
Yeah, just have him be someone who is a badass, beats people up, and doesn't really talk.
Yeah.
Like,
that's all you need.
Or you do the subtitles gimmick, but then some people don't really like that. So, I don't know. But yes, it's not going to be Rick. It would ideally be Zelina Vega. So, I don't know. Keep him busy for the next, who knows how long.
4 years until her deal's up.
Anyway, Jeez. Second question today comes from RamenSoup43, who says, it seems WWE relies on character only. Yeah, they said Tony Storm was an 80s wild child, a throwback this week on
character
SmackDown.
Is person who likes music.
Yes, you only remember one or two moves from top guys, usually finishers. Besides Cesaro, does WWE have the ability to book a champ known for, well, great strength and character? What new face can they bring up?
No, they don't. They don't. Because it's not a work rate promotion, right? The priority in WWE is not to go out there and have 5-star matches and whatever the meme is at the moment. In a Tokyo Dome, I guess it's probably in Daly's place now or something. Whatever the trolls have adjusted to, let us know. but no, it's not their focus. Like, WWE, as a consequence of having such a fantastic talent roster, will have great matches every now and then. Has great matches every single week, yeah. WWE. But it's not the priority, so I don't think they're ever going to book anyone in that manner. As far as who they could do, there's loads and loads of people on that roster. Cesaro would be a fantastic one. They could do it with Big E if they really wanted to, but the focus is more on spectacle moments and character in WWE.
I love you, Andy Murray, but you are wrong this time. Because first of all, you've forgotten your favourite tag team, the Creed Brothers, who've
obviously
got work rate, strength and character. And also, work rate, strength and character, how about I tell you the person who's going to be the person to take the title off Roman Reigns? Boobs! That guy wrestles in denim, and he's mint, and I don't think he's lost, if I'm not mistaken. He's great. He's the one they've really nailed recently. And, of course, don't need the Angelo. Ah, can't wait for him on NXT this week. And if you don't like him, you're a schmuck. Okay, final question today comes from Brother Phil, who says, does the Pinnacle have a long-term future? To me, they are lost in the pack because they didn't break up the Inner Circle. And there's more happening with Dark Order and the Elite. To me, the members look better as individuals than as a group. They sort of forgot about this, haven't they?
Yeah, they had an okay start. Like, I thought the formation angle was really solid, and then everything leading into the stadium stampede. But since then, they've just been this fractured thing where Spears is over here with FTR and MJF and Wardlow are over here, and sometimes more than one person appears together. Yeah, it's a tough road back. I think they do need to start appearing on camera a lot more. But if they were to split, I wouldn't be 100% against that. It's not the worst idea in the world, but there is an easy way to pull them back together, and that's just have them appear on camera more often.
Yeah, they can still be doing their separate stuff, you know, chairman stuff, FTR's tag title stuff, MJF slagging off Cincinnati stuff, I suppose. But yeah, have them have their own changing room again, or whatever. Maybe have, like you say, have them walk vaguely together.
Yeah.
Because they've just completely forgotten about it. And I realise you have to establish each people in their own separate areas. But it feels very much like, oh, we need a group to take down the Inner Circle. And then the Inner Circle are still sort of there, but then are they not there anymore? Because obviously Santana and Ortiz are doing their own stuff. Yes, Jericho was cheering on Sammy when he made the save on Rampage. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yes, make a decision, Tony, on that one, because it's all a bit up in the air. But then again, it is one of those things that often will slag off and then they'll revisit and you'll go, oh, they did have a plan all along. They just forgot about it for a month, basically. Anyway, let's move on to today's and finally. I'm going to give a shout out to someone who tweeted this to us before the weekend, I think, or maybe over the weekend. It's from It's Rhyme Time on Twitter. It might have actually been mentioned on the news over the weekend, but I'm going to mention it again here because it's especially for you. I saw this sign. I think it was the homecoming bit with Bianca Belair on SmackDown.
Yeah.
The H stands for high. It's Rhyme Time. I mean, it's obviously great whenever we get a sign there, but Miller signs, What Culture signs, but it's very nice to get your own catchphrase there.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you muchly. Replied to a little tweet here over the weekend. Yeah, it's a nice thing.
Yeah.
It's a nice ego boost as well.
I like. Mine would be like, is this the best show ever? But it's not going to be on telly very often because no one's taking that to Raw.
Yeah, you can see that on Raw. No.
Although,
205 Live.
This week, actually Raw, Whisper It, might be all right. Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy.
The main event looks really good.
Look at that main event. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Anyway, let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comment section down below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and the Daily Boys sitting down to review SmackDown and AEW Rampage later on today. And of course, look ahead to Monday Night Raw. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions and wrestling signs on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H today stands for Hug Your Weest.
Do it again.
Hug Your Weest.
Nah, nothing. follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Oh, I'm boiling your heat.
Okay.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.